You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Just want to take a minute to introduce ourselves. My name is Claire, and I get to serve as our high school pastor here at Purpose, and I get to be up here tonight with...
My name's Kellen, and I'm the senior boys life group leader.
So good. So tonight, we are talking about friendship, and Kellen and I, we've been friends for 13 and a half years. We did some math, and that's over half of our lives, so we feel really grateful about that, and we actually do have some pictures to share with you all. So Kellen and I met in middle school, and that's ASB. That is me with the weird side bangs and the Uggs, and then do you see Kel Dog in the corner? The thumbs up. It's so good. So we met in middle school, and we got closer when we got to high school. Claremont High, Pack Pride, go Pack. And actually, that was through Claremont High School, but also through HSM. So being in this room, this is us at summer camp, and it's Fancy Friday. But Kellen is in a tank top. Don't know how that happened, but feels a little classic. And then this is us at homecoming. So fun. And then here's us a few years ago doing ministry. And actually, that's Abby Atwood. If you guys remember, in the middle of COVID, we would surprise drop something off at your houses. And so that's us. And Kellen in the snowman suit kills me every single time. And so that's just very literally some snapshots of me and Kellen and our friendship. And we are so, so grateful and honored that God is giving us the opportunity to share tonight about friendship. In our Can I Ask That series, we are answering your questions that you HSMers have submitted. And the question we're asking tonight is, can friendships really last a lifetime? And me and Kellen, our answer, just gonna give it right to you, is yes, absolutely. Friendships can last a lifetime, and they can be super beautiful, but it will take sacrifice, dedication, and grace. And that's only possible through the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to stand for this next part, if that's cool with all of you. So before we can dig deeper into that main idea, we need to first ask an alternate question. And that is, what is friendship? And what does it look like to be a true friend? So what's so cool about Scripture is that, among many other things, we can look to Jesus as the perfect friend. As many of you already know, through much of Jesus' ministry, there was a group of people that Jesus had specifically called to follow him. We often refer to these people as his disciples, but they were also Jesus' closest friends while he was here on this earth. And we can look toward how Jesus interacted with each of them to pull out these little tidbits and nuggets of what we can do to also be really good friends to the people around us. So that leads us on to 3 points, and we wanted to say these are not the only 3 attributes of what a good friend is. This is just kind of what we had time for, but there's many, many more attributes to what a good friend is. And so point number one that we wanted to point to is that a true friend is willing to sacrifice themselves for their friends through love. The next section of verses we're about to read describe the night that Jesus was betrayed and then ultimately given to the authorities to go to his crucifixion. Shortly before that, Jesus gathered with his 12 disciples in what history came to call the Last Supper. And in John 15:13-15, Jesus said,
"Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
So here we see that Jesus describes laying down one's life for one's friends as a true indication of love. And he would go on to do exactly that not long after he spoke these words by actually willingly laying his life down for his friends. What's crazy is that this was literally on that night. And a side note with that is when talking about laying down his life for his friends, Jesus wasn't just talking about his disciples, but he was also talking about everyone that would later join his kingdom by surrendering their lives to the Lord. He was talking about you and me. Jesus wants a relationship with us as our perfect Savior. He's called us into relationship with him and has proven his worthiness through the cross. How awesome is that? As we lead into our next point, I wanted to highlight that one of the disciples that Jesus was talking to that night was the Apostle Peter. And as we see, a few verses before this, Jesus was brutally honest with Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends, and he was brutally honest with Peter, even though Peter disagreed with what he was saying. And so our next point is that a true friend is willing to be radically honest with their friends. And so in John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38, Jesus told Peter,
Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.
Jesus prophesied it, and Peter said he wouldn't. As we know, and as we'll see soon in the next set of scripture, Jesus was right. So the denials come in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75.
Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
So I want us to pause for a second and think about a bit before this scene when Jesus was honest with Peter, and Peter denied what Jesus was saying. Jesus rather bluntly asked him, will you really lay down your life for me, Peter? Not long from now, you will deny me three times. I'd imagine hearing this wasn't something that made Peter happy. It probably wasn't something that made Peter comfortable. But Jesus's honesty with Peter, I think, is something that really affected Peter's response when he did go on to deny Jesus. He remembered exactly what Jesus had told him, and we see in these last few verses that Peter's reaction was he went back outside and he wept bitterly. Thankfully, this wasn't the end of Peter's story, though. We know that Peter would go on to do great things for the church. Among the other disciples and many more, Peter would go on to be one of the leaders of the early church. But before that, in the book of John, Peter has one more interaction with the resurrected Jesus. So imagine you've literally ditched, you've denied, you've betrayed your friend, and you said you wouldn't, and now you have to face them one last time. And so here's what Peter says when he faces Jesus again in John chapter 21.
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
I really love this story because we get to see parallelism from an instance earlier in the Bible. Jesus had told Peter that he would deny him three times. Peter went on to do that. And like we saw, he went outside and wept bitterly after that. But thankfully, that wasn't the end of Peter's story. And Jesus, because he's the perfect friend, showed Peter ultimate grace. He came to Peter and he gave Peter three opportunities to once again affirm to him that he loved him. Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord." Jesus asked him again, and Peter was a little bit annoyed this time. He said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus asked him a third time, and I'd imagine this third time, Peter was even more annoyed than he was that second time. But I'd imagine that right after Peter affirmed his love for the Lord that third time, he probably remembered a little bit before that, when he had denied Jesus three times, walked outside, and wept bitterly. What a friend we have in Jesus. Studying friendship can be a little bit sobering, and it can be humbling in a sense, because you're probably sitting there, and you might even be asking yourself, "I don't think I have really any friends like that." And while that may be true, I want to rephrase the question for us, and I want us to instead ask, am I this type of friend to my friends? This is really, really hard to do. The reality is, as we strive to be better friends, we will often fail. But fear not, Jesus was that perfect friend. He was that perfect Savior. He died on the cross and rose from the grave. And because of that, we can look to him, we can look to how he treated his friends, and we can strive to be the type of friends that Jesus was to the people around him. So I think now we're going to go ahead and share a little bit about our story and our friendship and how the Lord redeemed a little bit of that.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I love that so much, Kellen, because everything that you shared, because Jesus is the perfect friend, but he can relate to us. He knows exactly what it's like to have imperfect friends. And as Kellen kind of alluded, we both feel like we really know that to be true. We know what it's like to be imperfect friends who are enjoying and learning from the perfect friendship of our perfect God because of our own story.
So we actually lied to you a little bit.
So sorry.
We've known each other for 13 and a half years, but we haven't exactly been friends for that entire time. There was about 4 years in the middle of those 13 and a half years where we weren't friends.
Exactly. Right before that, by the end of high school, Kellen and I were best friends, and we shared a group of best friends.
In the summer of 2016, Claire had just graduated from high school, and I was going into my senior year.
And at that time, I was actually dating somebody and in a romantic relationship. And my boyfriend at the time and Kellen, like, they were the best of friends.
During that summer, some conflict arose among the friend group, which came to his head with a large falling out between me and Claire's boyfriend, who was my best friend at the time.
And Kellen would say that during that fallout, he exchanged nasty words with other people that he's not proud of.
I think we all thought that as friends, we would work through it and figure it out the next morning. But none of us really initiated that. And so shortly after that, Claire and I talked about still being friends, but no one really initiated that conversation.
Yeah, and during that time, my boyfriend at the time decided to just end his friendship with Kellen completely. And I just went along with his decision, which obviously then prevented me and Kellen from being friends. And me doing that is absolutely something that I am not proud of. I wish, if I could go back, I think about this often, like I wish I could go back and encourage my boyfriend at the time to reconcile with Kellen. And I wish that I had just pursued Kellen more and prioritized our friendship, even in the midst of this fallout. And this is a brief side note, but you know, I know our dating talk was last week, but if you are going to end a friendship, if you're gonna let go of a friendship for the sake of a romantic relationship, would you please just pray about that decision and seek counsel and mentorship? Because sometimes there might be wisdom in distancing yourself from certain relationships, but I did not pray and I did not ask my mentors to speak into this decision that we were making in our friendships. And here's the tea. Here's the tea from myself, you know, the tea on me. That romantic relationship that I was in, that did not last. But I had risked the friendship with Kellen that did end up lasting, and I really regret that.
I think Claire needs to show herself a little bit more grace, but...
Thank you.
As the summer ended, most of the friend group, except for myself, headed off to college to various places, as some of my boys might be doing soon enough. And because no one initiated any reconciliation, naturally those friendships completely dissolved.
And we look back on this time in our lives and in our friendships with serious disappointment. I think at the situation and disappointment in ourselves, because really good friendships that had been formed in Christ, largely here at HSM, they no longer existed. And that was really, really painful for us both in ways that I wasn't aware of until several years later when Kellen shared with me that for him, he had invested so much in these HSM friendships that he really felt like he disconnected from some of his other friends at school. So Kellen went through a period where he felt really isolated and like he didn't really have many friends.
Hence, we had that four-year period where you might have noticed we had some really awkward photos at the beginning, and then they were a little bit less awkward at the end. So that was the four-year period where we had no photos together. Every once in a while, we'd see each other during holidays here or at... I think we were still doing Easter at the Fairplex at the time. Yeah. We had seen each other at Easter that one time, extremely awkward. Saw each other two more times, I think. But
it was
it was pretty bad. It was pretty awkward.
So that was our lives, awkwardness and really not friends. And that was the way that it was until the beginning of 2020, where both of us, without knowing it, we were both praying about going into ministry and maybe leading. And I decided to do a second year of interning here at HSM. And Kellen, who was unaware of that decision I was making, was also praying about interning here at HSM.
So in February of 2020, our dear friend, Pastor Eric, told me that Claire was interning. And my thought process was, oh, shoot, this is going to be a painfully awkward summer.
Yes. And it kind of was because Kellen officially decided to intern with HSM at the same time as me. And again, our dear friend, Pastor Eric, I love that you said that. He had no idea about this situation, had no idea what was going on, totally unaware, yeah. Which, you know, surprise, but we love him. When Eric told me that Kellen was interning, honestly, this is my sin, you guys. I was mad at Kellen. I was like, what are you doing? Like this was going to be like a, you know, easy breezy, beautiful cover girl year. like it was going to be totally good. And now we were going to have to deal with this while trying to minister and love students.
So I had done the internship because I felt like God was calling me towards it. And a lot of what went into that was a lot of prayer. And as I was praying about it, and after Erica told me that Claire was also interning, I really had it in my mind that maybe this was God's plan and an opportunity that God had to reconcile our friendship.
And in those first couple months of us interning together, so we're spending most of our weeks together, things actually went pretty smoothly. We genuinely got along, and we worked well together, collaborating in ministry. And miraculously, awkwardness was pretty limited, which we praise the Lord for. But our friendship was definitely shallow. And it's because we had never addressed that big conflict that we had in 2016.
So probably about a month and a half into doing the internship together, I was preparing to do a sermon during, if you guys remember the YouTube Purpose Students Live era, when we were in the middle of COVID, everyone was back home. And so I was preparing for this internship, or I was preparing for the sermon, and I knew that part of the sermon, what God was leading me towards, was sharing a little bit of my story from back in high school and the friendships I had. And I didn't want the situation where I came up here, started talking about that. Wasn't going to use any names, obviously, but Claire would have been standing in the back and would have clearly known what I was talking about.
And so we addressed the, We addressed the elephant in the room. And I will always, always credit Kellen for bravely initiating that conversation between us about our conflict. And we spent a couple hours on Zoom talking about everything that had happened and confessing the ways that we hurt each other and asking each other for forgiveness. It was hard, and it was awkward at times, and there were tears, mostly just from me, but that's pretty typical. But you guys are already used to that. But ultimately, through that discussion, it resulted in us truly forgiving, I think, not only each other, but also ourselves, breaking down the walls between us and reconciling as friends.
And so almost immediately after this, I think we both felt some sort of freedom. We felt like a heavy burden had been lifted off of us. And truly, within months, we were probably closer friends than we were even back in high school. And we were really, really close in high school. Mm-hmm. We were being more vulnerable with each other. We supported each other better. We were growing in Christ together. And we really, really praise God for that. And we really only think that only He can write a story like that.
Amen. And one of the things that we learned about friendship is that good friends love each other by choosing to work through conflict together. For friends in Christ, and this is good news, there is nothing too far gone for God to redeem. When you lean on the Holy Spirit, He will teach us how to be good friends, just like Jesus shows us in His Word.
And so in the spirit of looking at how Jesus treats His friends, we felt like the next part that we could try to answer this original question of, or our original main idea of, yes, friendships can last a lifetime, but it will take sacrifice, dedication, and grace, and that's only possible with the Holy Spirit, is that friends need to be willing and know how to address conflict with each other.
Absolutely. Conflict is inevitable in friendships. You don't need me to tell you this, but we are imperfect and sinful, and so until we are glorified with God in eternity, friends will hurt us, and we will hurt our friends. Oftentimes, too, that will happen very unintentionally. And we can't always control who we hurt or how we get hurt ourselves, but we can lean on the Holy Spirit and ask him to help us respond to conflict with that Christ-like sacrifice, dedication, and grace. So I wanted to share this with all of us tonight. People have been studying conflict for years and years, and they've come up with sort of this spectrum of ways that we can respond to conflict. At one end of the spectrum is what they call like escape responses. Then it goes into peacemaking, and on the other end are attack responses. So escape responses are kind of like your classic avoidance. You deny that a problem has even existed. You kind of sweep it under the rug, or you flee, right? Like you just like avoid conflict at all costs. The other end of the spectrum is attacking, and that really comes out in the form of assault, and that can be in the word, that can be with words, like verbally. And I think we've all probably seen this, that when we're upset at a friend, maybe we turn to texting them some nasty words, or we see it all over social media, but we can also attack, of course, physically and violently. Somewhere in between those two ends of the spectrum are peacemaking responses. And that looks like overlooking a hurt. That maybe a hurt was minor enough that you decide to give it to the Lord and forgive that person in your own heart. But discussion is also a peacemaking response. So that's kind of like what Kellen and I did together as we worked through ours. Sometimes counseling is really important and helpful in responding to conflict, including getting a mediator, a third party who can help you and another person work through conflict. And I really wanted to show this to you all because escape and attacking responses are not Christ-like responses to conflict. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. And it doesn't mean that everyone has to be our best friend, but it does mean that we seek peace and pursue it because God has made peace with us. Kellen's going to read what it says in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18.
But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Jesus did not harbor bitterness toward us. So as Christ followers, it's an act of worship for us to follow his example. And maybe in your life right now, there is some obvious conflict and division in some of your friendships. Or you might just be feeling like some of your friendships are a little shallow. And if that's you, we would encourage you to pray and consider how addressing some conflict might bring freedom and peace to your friendships. And we have just a few pieces of advice for two groups of people, and you'll probably be surprised that all of us are a part of both groups. So if you are hurt by a friend, if you're here tonight and a friend bothered you or they left you out or they irritated you, if they hurt you, here's what we'd encourage you to do. First, pray. Bring it to God. Bring the situation to God. Bring all of your feelings to God and submit them to him. Allow him to change and lead your heart. We are so quick, again, to run to social media or to rant, right? We use that word. I just need to rant, or I just need to vent about what's irritating me. But all over scripture, God asks us to return to him, to come to him. I love that we sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry all of our griefs to God in prayer. So pray. And then remember God's sacrifice, dedication, and grace to you, because his love is going to help you love your friends. And here are some practical ways that you can apply that. As you're thinking about this way that you're hurt, pray and ask the Lord, can the offense be overlooked? Or was it major enough, or has it become a pattern so much so that you cannot ignore it and you have to discuss it? And as you prepare to do that, if you're going to discuss it with a friend, we'd also challenge you to ask the question, how might have you contributed to the hurt? That Jesus asks us to take the log out of our own eyes before we point out the specks in somebody else. So how might you have contributed to the hurt? And then ask your friend to talk. Choose an appropriate time and place. Plan it together. Discussing conflict, working through that in the middle of musical worship at HSM is probably not an ideal time for anyone for you to talk about the ways that you're hurt. So plan a time to talk with your friend. And here's a question that I've been trying to utilize a lot more if I'm going to a friend about being hurt. I just ask the question, hey, Kellen, can I share with you a way that I've been hurting in our friendship recently? I find that to be such a helpful question. Can I share how I've been hurting in our friendship recently? Because it's not accusatory, right? It's not like, hey, here's all the ways that you hurt me, Kellen. It's expressing that I care enough about Kellen and our friendship that I want to address this hurt. And then if you are hurt by one of your friends and you're going to initiate a discussion together, we challenge you. Prepare already to show grace and forgive your friend. Here are four concrete promises one must make to truly forgive another. I read this in one of my classes for grad school a few months ago, and I just find it so helpful. When we choose to forgive someone, here's what we say. We say, I will not think about this incident. Because I forgive you, I will not bring up this incident again and use it against you. I will not talk to others about this incident, and I will not allow this incident to stand between us or hinder our personal relationship. Forgiveness is a commandment from God. It actually ultimately frees us, but it comes at a cost. And if you are going to go to your friend about a way that you've been hurt by them, if you're not ready to make these promises to them and truly forgive them, you probably need to spend some more time in prayer so that you can approach that conversation not with an attacking response, but truly wanting to forgive them. And then, if a hurt friend comes to you, we have pretty similar advice. Step number one, pray. Bring it to God. Bring all of your feelings to God. Instead of wanting to defend yourself, instead of wanting to blame shift, to keep yourself innocent, pray and ask God to change and lead your heart. And then remember God's sacrifice, dedication, and grace, because his love is going to help you love your friend better. Listen and understand your friend before being understood yourself. James chapter 1, verse 18 asks us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because that's who God is. And remember that if a friend is coming to you sharing why they're hurt, it actually expresses how much they care about you. So thank them that they love you enough to address this with them. And also, be willing to have multiple conversations. Don't feel pressured to solve everything at once. Your friend does need you to listen to their hurts, but they also probably want to work together with you to make some agreements about moving forward. So agreeing on, hey, next time we're in a situation like this, I'll try this instead of what I did because that hurt you. Know that some conflicts will take multiple conversations to work through, but part of being dedicated to each other is staying at the table long enough to work through things even when it's hard. And then don't be afraid to ask for help, a mediator. I've told so many of you, and I'm telling all of you now, me as your pastor, I would be honored to mediate a conflict conversation between you and another person. It's not a weakness to ask for help. It's actually a wisdom. And as we begin to wrap up, Maybe you're thinking, oh man, I need to ask a friend to have a conversation this week. And maybe you're feeling nervous about that, or maybe you feel like you know that a friend is going to come to you. And it is scary and it is difficult in ways that make us want to run away, but I would encourage you, don't listen to those lies of the enemy, but lean into God's love. Because I am so confident that if Kellen and I did not work through our conflict, that if Kellen wasn't brave enough to initiate that conversation with us, I know with my entire heart that I'd be missing out on one of the best friendships of my whole life. And that is even scarier to me. Potentially losing that friendship is even scarier than addressing any conflict that we ever had. I've been thinking a lot about bricks or Lego, if you will. Clearly, I have a new Lego obsession. And I've been thinking about how every single one of us, we live our lives with walls around us, walls between us and other people. And at the same time, we're always carrying bricks, or we're always carrying the Lego pieces. And it's up to us to decide with our words, our choices, and our actions, whether we are choosing to carry bricks to build the walls higher between us and other people, or if we are actively taking the bricks down so that we can go deeper with one another. And when Kellen asked us to discuss our conflict and work through it, he was actively choosing to tear down the walls between us. That we had hit a certain point where we couldn't go any deeper in our friendship unless we decided to break down those walls. And Satan wants our walls to be built up. He wants to divide relationships because he knows that we really are better together in Christ. But remember that friendship, in its purest form, is built on people having something in common. And something that's so beautiful about the family of God is that people, even in this room, if you look around at each other, even in this room, you might not have a lot in common with people, or you might have nothing in common with someone. But if you share the Holy Spirit and a desire to know him better, then you have everything in common that matters and every reason to be friends. That's another, like, probably the millionth reason why I love the church. The Big C family of God and serving side by side in the local church is because even when Kellen and I weren't friends and we were in conflict, we were already reconciled. That we were already a brother and sister in Christ, and we just needed to lean on the Holy Spirit to live into that reality of the true friendship that was already brought about in Christ. We are about to dismiss you all to life groups, but right before we do that, we're going to demonstrate, Kellen and I, a friendship challenge that we are asking all of you to do tonight in your life groups. We are asking you tonight to choose to make decisions to tear down walls between you and others by encouraging one another. And so here's the challenge. Your leaders will tell you how you'll do this in your life groups, but we want you to look your friends in the eye and share three things that you appreciate about each other. And Kellen and I are going to do that right now. Kellen, I appreciate that we both love Taylor Swift. I told you I had one shallow one. I just love that, Kellen, you don't shame me for the things that I am interested in and that I love, but you rally around me and support me in that.
Claire, I appreciate that you are probably in the top 5% of encouragers in the world.
I feel so dumb for including the Taylor Swift one. All right, thank you. Kellen, I appreciate that you are honest with me about your weaknesses and shortcomings because you being vulnerable with me inspires me to be vulnerable with you. And I actually know how to better pray for you and support you. So thanks for letting me into all parts of your life.
Claire, I appreciate that you're one of the best friends I can come to seek wise counsel from.
Thank you. Kellen, I appreciate that you prioritize prayer in your life and in our friendship. And last semester, Kellen and I were both walking through some hard things just independently in our lives, and I said, Kellen, I need to call you. And I shared it all, and I was crying. And Kellen, I don't know if you even remember this, but you didn't even say, I'm sorry. All you said was, well, should we pray? And you prayed for me. And that was everything that I needed. So thank you, Kellen.
Claire, I appreciate that you so willingly carry other people's burdens, even when it's really heavy. You're the first person to cry probably in the room, probably crying even before your friend cries most of the time. So,
thank you, friend.
I did have one last thing to say. Claire gave me far too much credit in terms of addressing conflict and stuff like that. I entered that first conversation just purely trying to avoid awkwardness when I stood up here and did a sermon. And I really think that that turned into our friendship reconciliating because of Claire's approach to being willing to hear me out, to hear my hurts, but also being willing to talk about it and kind of leading that conversation when we first talked about it.
So. Thank you, friend. We're better together,
yeah,
as absolutely. They say. Okay, HSM, we love you and appreciate you. We're better together. What a friend we have in Jesus, and what friends he's given us here at HSM.